Our first reading from the book of Acts, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us, in our native language, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, 'And in the last days it shall be,' God declares, 'that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show signs and wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray the verse that we just sang. Come, holy light, guide divine, now cause the word of life to shine. Teach us to know our God aright and call him Father with delight. From every error keep us free. Let none but Christ our Master be, that we in living faith abide. In him our Lord with all our might confide. Alleluia. Amen. The day of Pentecost, here, now, 2021, obviously 2,000 years later, and yet met with the same exact reactions that we find in Pentecost Day, Acts chapter 2. And obviously we could point out some differences, but I would like to say that the differences don't make that much of a difference when you get right down to it. But let's start there, and then we can come here. The sound like the mighty rushing wind, the tongues of flame upon their heads, people hearing Galileans speak in all of their various tongues. Of this, there was no disagreement. Something had happened. And so they gather to investigate. And while they do that, preaching breaks out. Peter and the apostles declare the mighty acts of God. And right there, there is a division in the crowd. Either they are interested, they listen to the mighty acts of God, they are drawn in by that story, and it becomes the story of their life, or they make up some other explanation for what is going on in their eyes and in their ears. And this is true for both of those groups. It either needs to be explained or it needs to be explained away. No one, none of them, are comfortable with just letting this sit without some kind of response. So at this point, Peter launches into what we know as the Pentecost sermon. And in that sermon, he will draw their attention chiefly to three points. One, this miracle that was happening before them, that they could hear all of the works of God in their own language, Peter confirms, that is a miracle. That is nothing short of the Holy Spirit at work. God wants all people to be saved. People are saved through hearing the word of Christ. So the gospel can and will be understood in every tongue. This is the Spirit's doing. Jesus says the same thing in our gospel reading tonight, John 16. Two, Peter says, if you keep reading on through chapter 2, that everyone is guilty in some fashion for Jesus hanging on the cross. And Peter doesn't look through the crowd and pick out specific people and tell them how each and every one of them specifically was guilty. Instead, he just states it outright. So for our purposes, I will do the same thing here tonight. Because you are sinners, and because Christ went to the cross on account of sins, you also are tied to the reason that Jesus died on a cross. And then point three of his sermon, Peter points out that God reverses that judgment of crucifying Christ to death. God reverses that by raising him from the dead. And this is the supreme mighty act of God that Peter and the rest of the apostles are proclaiming that day. The Father raised the Son from the grave, and furthermore, he had exalted him to his right hand. This is what Peter lays out before the crowd that day. Beyond their ability to hear this preaching in their own languages, Peter states outright for them, Jesus died, yet God rose him from the dead. It happened. And you see that this demands a response. And as I said, this is where you see two different reactions that are no different from the reactions that happen whenever the preaching of Jesus' death and resurrection takes place, even 2,000 years later. No one is content to just let it sit. It needs to be explained further and believed, or explained away and rejected. But it cannot be ignored. It is too large. It means too much to simply ignore it. A reaction is demanded. You can't not think about it once it is before you. You must think something. And at this point, the ones who are drawn in by this story ask, what they can do, if it is true, if what Peter says is true, if they are tied in with crucifying the Son of God, killing God's only Son unjustly, what could they do? Is there any hope? And Peter responds, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the profoundly gracious gift of God. He will forgive sins, even though it led to the death of His own Son. He will even forgive those sins. And furthermore, He will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. That cannot be expected, maybe to us who have heard it over and over on throughout our whole lives, but no. If you think about what He is saying, according to human logic, there is no way you could expect that. Think about it. God forgives sinners even though it led to the death of His child. That is astounding grace. And there are several that day who found it to be exactly what Peter says it is. That is a gift from God. Many today still find it that way. May not be what we expect. Nevertheless, it is the gift that God gives. But you also see as you read through the rest of Acts chapter 2 that that is not the only reaction we see. For those who are not interested, they make up silly little nonsense explanations for what was going on in front of them, for what Peter and the rest of the apostles were saying. They accuse Peter and the church of being silly, being drunk, jabbering on about nonsense. But no, they had to respond in some way. They weren't content to let it sit. Life could not go on as if it hadn't happened, as if they hadn't heard it with their own ears, because something had happened. They acknowledged this even by responding to it. Jesus had risen from the dead. This was, is, always will be at the forefront of the church's preaching. It will always be at the forefront of what we declare to be the mighty acts of God. You have heard this over and over throughout your life, in your own language, that Christ was crucified, He rose again 3 days later, and forgiveness is found in Him. Peter says, hey, there are many other heroes in the Old Testament, like David. He says, you guys can go to David's tomb, and if you would be let inside, you would find whatever remains of David's body. But you can't do that with Jesus. We say the same thing. The tomb is still empty. You will not find His bones rotting away. He did not see corruption. And that demands attention. Which is why we see the unbelieving world still reacting to this. They, even today, they are not content to let it lie. And oftentimes the reaction is exactly like we see in Acts chapter 2, mocking, explaining away. But as you will also see throughout the book of Acts, through the rest of church history, it often grows into persecution, arrest, even at points execution. But it can't be ignored. And it still can't be ignored because we are still proclaiming the mighty acts of God. That He is still at work today. That the Holy Spirit being poured out is proof that Jesus was raised from the dead. He said He would do this when He goes to be with His Father. He is still at work for the church. Jesus says in the gospel reading today that He sends the Holy Spirit out, that the Spirit speaks of Him, and the Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so where do we go from here? Some repent. They're baptized. They believe these mighty acts of God, and they go to His Word as the guide for their life. Others try and get around it in some way. But you can see how this becomes the centering principle of our life, or something that you must avoid, Either God is working through his Son to save sinners, and that becomes the chief reality for you, a sinner. That becomes the place where you draw your life from, or there is a rejection of all of that, a rejection of sin and righteousness and judgment, a rejection of that life. Because everyone has to go on, even after they hear this, everyone has to live their lives. Everyone uses their own judgment about how to live those lives. Everyone is convinced of what sin is, what is wrong in this world. Everyone is convinced in their own mind of what righteousness is, how we are to live our lives. Everyone has judgments on the most important things in life and how they should be. And the scriptures say that our keys to that come from the Spirit of God, from the Spirit of truth, or they come from the spirit of the age, they come from the spirit of the world, they come from the spirit at work in the sons of disobedience, they come from the father of lies. But you are forgiven. You have been baptized. You have received the Spirit of God. This is why we still celebrate Pentecost today. It is still going on. Amen.